Hello, hello, and welcome to all my fantastic radio listeners out there. If this is your first, second, third time, I say welcome. I hope your day is full of energy, positive vibes, and good health. Welcome to Simply Healthy Talk Show with producer Auntie K, right here on Word SBC 88.3 FM. I'm your host, Bridget Bell Bastian, a.k.a. Lady B, and it's a pleasure to have you join us today. Now, today, you know I always have a fun topic for you. And the topic for today is small as a pea, large as a grapefruit. And I have a very special doctor in studio today, and he's going to tell us all about this. But before we get into our topic, I'm going to ask him to tell us a little bit about himself, what he does, where he's from, you know, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Bridget. I appreciate you allowing me to be here on this fine day.
Yes.
So my name is Mikhail Higgins. First thing I always like to lead with is I am a proud Bahamian.
Hey.
And it is a joy to be back in the Bahamas and able to obviously join in studio with persons like yourself doing such fantastic work.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up in the Bahamas, born and raised in the Bahamas, went to elementary school at Xavier's Lower School.
Okay.
Subsequent to that, I was at St. John's College for 3 years.
Okay.
You know, I was a giant for 3 years. And then subsequently, jumped ship, as they say, and I moved to Queen's College.
Okay.
Graduated there, and you know, so I call myself a giant comet.
Mm.
You know, so a little bit of a hybrid, and then I left after spending some time, about a year at the College of the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
Which was obviously now the University of the Bahamas.
Uh-huh.
So gone are the days of the College of the Bahamas. but alas, I shifted gears and got an opportunity to move to the U.S.
Okay,
did my college, did medical school,
mm-hmm.
did my master's, did residency. Did fellowship, did another fellowship, and as a physician, and obviously now, which we'll talk about, an interventional radiologist,
mm-hmm.
And then I became a university professor in the School of Medicine in Boston, for about 5 years, and then shifted gears to come back home. So I'm you know, when I sort of think of myself, what sort of sums me up? One, I'm Bahamian.
Yes.
Two, I'm a physician specialist.
Yes.
Practicing interventional radiology, which
mm-hmm.
we can talk about what that is. And three, I'm actually a yogi. I'm actually a wellness advocate and proponent. And my life, when I'm not wearing a suit or a white coat or in
mm-hmm.
scrubs, you know, I'm in workout gear,
okay.
leading classes and leading meditation and things of that nature.
Wow. That's a lot. You are fully loaded.
Fully loaded.
Excellent.
As a Bahamian, that's what comes to be expected, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. And so my topic, as you heard earlier, small as a pea, large as a grapefruit. I don't know if you figured it out as yet, but it's a very, very common issue that most women have. It's fibroids. And so, Doc, what are fibroids and what causes them to develop?
Yeah, so great question. So I think one of the reasons why, you know, you started saying this is such a fun topic, you know, I think you know, fun is a topic that I think a lot of people can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's interesting is that this is so prevalent, I would call it an epidemic.
Yes.
Okay. So about 70% of women in the Caribbean actually have fibroids.
Mm.
Usually about 30% of that number
mm-hmm.
Are actively aware that
okay.
they know that
right.
they actually have these growths, which we'll talk about what they actually are in their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And the remainder, the other 70% of that 70% mm-hmm. of women that actually have these are just oblivious, and they're just
True.
Sort of accustomed to the symptoms,
yeah.
which they do have. They're just usually in denial or not quite sort
okay.
of aware that they have them. So this is why this for me is such an important topic, because it serves so many women. That's the first
right.
point. Second point is sort of what are they? So fibroids are benign tumors.
Mm-hmm.
The most common benign tumor of the uterus, the womb
mm-hmm.
of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the sort of colloquial term is a myoma. The colloquial
yeah,
term is a
yeah.
fibroid.
Mm-hmm.
The actual term is a leiomyoma.
Oh.
And leio mm-hmm. comes from the root word muscle.
Okay.
Oma comes from the root word, which means tumor. So it
okay.
is a muscular tumor.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about even your muscles and
right.
my muscles
mm-hmm.
Or your husband's muscles,
yeah.
you know, these are exactly like a bicep that's flexed all day long.
Wow.
Okay. And what's interesting about them and I harp on the fact that they're benign,
right.
You know, which is to be clear that they're not malignant, they're not right. cancer, they right. don't spread to other parts of the body.
Okay.
But they are tumors, and mm-hmm. tumors do what tumors do, which is their whole goal is to grow.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
They have no other mandate that God gave them other than to grow. Mm. Okay. And so they do everything in their power to grow. And the way they grow is by essentially recruiting the blood supply from the uterus,
right. mm-hmm.
creating their own little spider web mm-hmm. collaterals in order to grow, not just themselves, but their babies,
yeah.
and their cousins,
yeah.
and their aunties, and their uncles.
I see some women a lot.
It's like a bunch of grapes, right?
Wow.
And that turns into a bunch of oranges, it turns into a bunch of coconuts.
Wow.
And so that's how it is. And so it creates that network.
Mm-hmm.
So why do they develop? They develop really because of a genetic predisposition.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, why do we have the color skin that we have? Well, it's mm-hmm. in our genes,
mm-hmm.
okay? So if our genes tell our bodies to do something, our bodies will respond,
that's
okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
The only thing that can mitigate that is environment, which we'll talk about later and why environment is so important for managing fibroids. So when you think about the genetic predisposition, it is what it is. You know, you're born with this genetic predisposition, and a lot of women of African descent are unfortunately predisposed
yes.
to developing fibroids
yep.
because it's in the genes.
Mm-hmm.
The other group, which a lot of people don't talk about because this group is, you know, very good at keeping things to themselves. And this is actually the
okay.
Asian demographic of women. They are the next most common group,
wow.
okay? So when you think about, you know, 70% of women, you know, of African descent
mm-hmm.
in the Caribbean having it, you know, that number may drop to 40% amongst mm-hmm. Asians, right? If you were to go over to Florida and you were to look at sort of the epidemiology of fibroids in Florida,
right.
you'll see that actually the 70% of women actually have it there. But the vast majority of women in Florida who have it are what? Are white, Caucasian
right, right.
women. Why is that? It's just because of the majority of women in Florida are white, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who is more predisposed? Women of African descent, who's more predisposed? Women of Asian descent. But by and large, who in the world has more? I mean, in any particular group, it's whatever the population is, obviously, that's in the majority. And in the case of Florida, obviously, white women.
Oh, wow.
Right? Just to put it in perspective.
Ooh. Ooh, interesting. So you mentioned that there are symptoms, but we probably aren't aware of it, or maybe we are, we just ignore it. What are those symptoms?
Yeah, no, so great question, Bridget. So when you think about fibroids, you think about it in terms of what they are, right? So
mm-hmm.
these muscular tumors, whole mandate is to grow, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when I think about a fibroids, you know, and my patients who are probably listening, you know, they're going to love this because this is how when they're like, got it, doc. Thank you. That analogy was perfect.
Okay.
If you think about a tick on a dog.
Right.
Okay? A tick on a dog is kind of like a fibroid on a uterus.
Yeah.
What is the purpose of a tick on a dog? It's to suck the blood of
yeah.
the dog. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they start out nice and fat where you'd be like, oh my
no.
goodness, there's a tick on my dog.
No.
Those little guys, they start out in the fur, close to the skin,
mm-hmm.
tiny, 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 close to the size of a little tiny termite, and then they grow, grow, grow. And they get full and full and
that's
full of
right.
all that. And that's what they're doing. So
yeah.
they're sucking blood. So when you think about a fibroid, the first symptoms are what? Bleeding symptoms. So what fibroids do, they suck the blood over the course of the month. When it's time for your period, they say,
wow.
all right, boys and girls, it's time to dump this excess blood. So they dump the blood down.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your normal period should maybe be 2 pads in a 24
right.
period, and you're at 6, then
uh-huh.
what you know is 6 minus 2 is what? 4.
On.
So 4 pads are actually being contributed by the fibers. Then another month,
wow.
6 pads again. So you say, boy, back in the day, used to be 2 pads. Why did it jump to 6?
Yeah.
So those 4 pads are secondary. So what is actually happening? Your fibers are taking in that blood and dropping that blood in the mm-hmm. form of a heavy period, menorrhage, as they call it. So how does that affect you as a person? The way it affects a woman as a person is what? The purpose of your blood is to do a number of things. So if you think about what your heart says, all right, let's pump the blood to the lungs. Lungs say, all right, take a deep breath of air in. You take that breath in, that oxygen goes into your lungs, crosses the membrane, goes into the blood. Your blood say, thanks, goes back to the heart. Heart says, all right, now oxygenated blood. Go to the rest of the body, the brain, the organs, the tissues, the muscles, and provide that oxygen. So
okay.
what the oxygen then does.
Doc, before you go any
yep,
further.
Yep.
We have to take a break because
yeah,
it sounds like this is going to be a very long, intense description of what's going to be happening
sure,
here.
Sure.
So we're going to take a quick break right now. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm Pastor Terry Tanis, and you're listening to Word SBC 88.3 FM.
Welcome back to Simply Healthy. I'm in studio with Dr. Higgins, and he's telling us about this these fibroids. So right before the break, you were giving us a breakdown and, you know, a good description of what this really is. So let's continue with that.
Yeah. So basically, what I was sort of kind of expanding on is sort of what the blood is designed to do.
Right.
So the blood is designed to take the oxygen from the lungs. Mm-hmm. Then be pumped by the heart to the tissues, right? Mm-hmm. And so why is that oxygen important? The oxygen is important because the oxygen combines with all the nice food nutrients that your stomach mm-hmm. and your intestines would have basically extracted from your food.
Right.
And you combine those nutrients with what? With that oxygen, and you undergo a process called respiration, which may ring a bell from biology in high school. And then you produce what? The primary thing you get is energy, and then you get the byproducts being carbon dioxide and water. And the water vapor and the carbon dioxide goes back in the blood, goes back to your heart, heart pumps into the lungs, and you breathe that out, okay? But the energy is what you have. Mm-hmm. So when you think about sort of a woman who has fibroids, who's losing blood, first thing she says is, I feel fatigued. I feel low energy. Why? Because she's losing blood.
Okay.
Less oxygen going into the cells. Mm-hmm. That means there's less energy going to be coming out. Mm-hmm. If you have blood being made in your bone marrow, which is where blood cells are made, that cycle is at the pace that it's at. It is nothing's going to increase that unless, you know, you have an oncologist that says, all right, we're going to speed it up for some reason. But generally speaking, normal person is not in control of that. Mm. So if you're losing more blood than your body is actually making, then you're going to have a deficit, and you're going to feel the deficit in the form of low energy. Your engine check light, which is your brain, is going to say, oh boy, there's low oxygen. So you're going to get maybe lightheaded. I have many women in my office who talk about fainting. I have many women who have these sort of little blackout spells where even they're sitting, they're talking to people, and they go black. I have women who say, you know what? When I walk up the stairs, I feel short of breath, and they're fit like you.
Really?
Why is it? Because there's less blood circulating. So what has to happen in order for you to get more oxygen to your tissues per second? Either your lungs have to say, I need to take deeper breaths in, or your heart has to say, I have to pump that limited blood per second faster. So if you have, instead of having 100% of blood that you would normally have, mm-hmm. and your heart says, all right, let's pump the way we would normally pump and go a little bit faster if you decide you want to walk upstairs. Well, if you have less, if you have 60% of what's supposed to be in your blood, mm-hmm. then your heart has to say, oh, I have to work overtime if you're going to walk upstairs.
So this is not just during your menstrual cycle.
No, this is you. This is you, because you're the time that you're losing it is during your menstrual cycle.
Right.
But you're living the month. Mm. Right. And so it's when you're living is when you are obviously. Yeah. So those are the bleeding symptoms. The second group of symptoms are related to the bulk. So I mentioned that these are muscular tumors. Mm-hmm. So being tumors, again, they are designed to grow mm-hmm. and to grow muscle tissue. Mm-hmm. What are muscles when they are formed? They're what? They're hard. Right. Mm-hmm. So the hardest things in your body are what? Your teeth, enamel, and bones, and then ligaments and tendons are in there as well. But really and truly, in your abdomen, in your pelvis, there really shouldn't be anything harder than the bones around it.
Right.
So these fibroids are the strongest and the hardest thing. So when people talk push on, you know, the stomach, the abdomen of a woman with fibroids, they say, what are these, some hard things? These are rocks.
There are some people that have like abnormal size stomach. Is this sometimes a sign, or
so when we I don't use the term stomach because the stomach is an organ. So so that's why I use the term abdomen. So abdomen is an area. Abdomen is a region. So women who have sort of the protruding abdomen, mm-hmm. it's because of the fibroids.
Okay.
You know, again, if you have sort of grapes under, you know, which are sort of the fibroids, and you say, all right, let me just take this analogy, and we say, all right, imagine grapes underneath the skin, and they're hard like muscles. And I put my hand around them. Well, are grapes sort of symmetric? No, they're not always symmetric. So you see some women who have a six-pack, but then it's protruding over here and protruding over there, you know, and you're like, well, why do you look like that? It's like if you're trying to flatten out a carpet, and you say, well, I can't flatten it out no matter what I do. And then you raise it up and you have marbles underneath the carpet.
Yeah.
You can do nothing to flatten that carpet out unless you have marbles. So similarly, the fibroids, what they do is they press on the abdomen, producing disfigurement. But what they also do is they press on organs. They press on the bladder, increasing what? The need to obviously urinate because you feel like instead of your bladder getting to the normal capacity, you're like, oh, this is compressed. So instead of 10 glasses of water, you actually may be able to just get 5 glasses in because the fibroids are pressing. So the maximal capacity of your bladder is less. Similarly, if you think behind the uterus, what's there? It's the rectum. So if you're eating foods that are now passing and you're like, oh, getting ready to pass through the rectum and the anus and then out in the form of bowel movement, if they come in contact with these hard fibroids and the fibroids create a bottleneck, you may say, well, why are these women having 1 to 2 bowel movements a week? And I mean, I would say that's probably 2 to 3 out of every 10 patients that I see are 2 bowel movements a week. Ooh, I have 2 women in the past year that have had 1 per month. And they've been having that for 3 to 5 months.
No
3 to 5 years leading up to seeing me.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, one lady had her husband, and when she said 1 bowel movement a month, her husband didn't even bat an eyelid. Because when you would look at her scan, you say, this is a bottleneck where the poop is all backed up. All backed up. And it's unbeknownst to her that every time she eats, she should have obvious response.
Yeah.
So to summarize, you have the bleeding symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Bleeding symptoms related to the increased work of breathing with sort of light exercise,
mm-hmm.
the lightheadedness,
mm-hmm.
the heavy periods,
mm-hmm.
the low energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the bulk symptoms, the pressure symptoms, the bloating, the disfigurement, the increased urinary frequency and urgency,
mm-hmm.
the constipation. And then one that a lot of women come to me with, and which is very personal, is miscarriages.
Okay,
so if you have,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you know, sort of women trying to get pregnant, in order to get pregnant, you have to have viable sperm, you have to have viable eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Those viable sperm and viable egg come together.
Mm-hmm.
Once they form an embryo now, fertilize,
mm-hmm.
they need to say, oh, where are we going to implant? In a nice, hospitable environment in the uterus. Hospitable environment is where they can grow free, unobstructed. If you have fibroids in the uterus, is that a hospitable environment, unobstructed? No. I will guarantee you that those muscular fibroids are going to be stronger than a small little baby to be. And so what happens? Miscarriages. I had a VIP in December come to see me, and she had 3 myomectomies between 2016 and 2021.
Ooh.
2 at the Cleveland Clinic, and she had 1 in the Bahamas with a very prominent doctor here in the Bahamas, surgeon, gynecologist, in 2020. She's now coming to me and she says to me, I don't know why I'm having these symptoms. And, you know, I show her the scan. I say, you still have fibroids? She said, well, I just had this 20. She said, please show it to me. I show her the, she said, well, you know, doc, honestly, I'm just accustomed to the symptoms, but I will tell you why I'm here. I'm here because of the miscarriages.
Mm.
I've had 3 in the past year.
Mm-hmm.
So when I explain now, well, you know, these are crowding out whatever embryo you may have had. So it shows that the fact that you can actually produce an embryo means that your eggs are good.
Yeah.
Whoever it is that you are procreating with or attempting to procreate with, they're good too.
Ooh.
The problem is the environment, your uterus. So what do we need to do? We need to make sure that your environment is more hospitable. So those are the symptoms in a little bit of a nutshell.
So all of this time she had fibroids, but she was unaware because of the miscarriage.
It came because of the miscarriages, because she hadn't completely killed or removed, in obviously in the case of surgery, all of the fibroids. She had obviously removed some, but there were layers. I mean, when you think, again, it's grapes. If you're grabbing grapes, you may grab on the top, but
true.
You keep grabbing until you got to the stem, right? So you may say, oh, boy, I got 20 grapes, but then they look around, you got another 20 more underneath of there. So it just depends on if you understand what's actually happening. And obviously, we'll talk about, obviously, the pros and cons of different treatments and how that affects,
mm-hmm.
you know, women, and depending on their goals, which we'll get into, I'm sure.
Yes. Wow. That's a whole lot, guys. I if you need to speak with this doctor, Dr. Higgins, you have to call him, because there's a lot of information being given here. And you kind of touched on the miscarriage already. You're jumping ahead of me, Doc. You're jumping ahead of me. But we need to take another short break, and we will be right back to talk about these pea-sized or grapefruit-sized things. What do you call them? Fibroids. Yeah. We'll be right back.
So, did you know that we're at SBC 88.3 FM can be heard from not just this station, but on your smartphones, iPads, tablets, computers, and even on your television? How you ask? Well, I'm glad you did. Well, with the tap of your fingers, you can download the TuneIn Radio app as well as the Go Loud Digicel app, and in region, select Dominica. After downloading, simply search for Word SBC 88.3 FM and you'll be able to enjoy and listen. Also, with a click of your television remote to channel 988 on Rev TV, you'll be able to hear it all. on Word SBC 88.3 FM, living by the Word of God.
Welcome back to Simply Healthy right here on Word SBC 88.3 FM. I'm in studio with Dr. Higgins, and this is Lady B, Bridget Bell-Bastian. Now, Doctor, you had a whole lot of information, you know, and I'm just here getting carried away just listening. So I don't even remember what my last question was. But we're going to talk about, you mentioned miscarriages, and I've always heard people say, when you have fibroids, you go and get it treated, and it tends to come back. Why?
Yeah, so I think that's a great question. So, and I'll answer it in a few ways. So the first thing is to understand that fibroids are things that you're genetically predisposed to. Mm-hmm. So if you understand that, can you change your genes? Yes and no.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes and no. So I'm happy that you entertain the possibility of yes, because you can change your genes. But we won't get into sort of that until we sort of start talking about nutrition and environment. Mm-hmm. However, it's important to understand that if you were to, you know, if you're a farmer, mm-hmm. farmers know that, you know, there are different methods of farming.
Right.
You know, one of them is sort of slash and burn, okay? Mm-hmm. Subsistence farming. So when you think about a farm, if you were to burn that farm, there's a certain understanding of how long before that sort of land, that terrain, mm-hmm. just becomes overrun by weeds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because what? The good Lord made it so.
Right.
Why? Please, somebody, when you get an opportunity to ask the good Lord while it is, then let him let us know.
Yes.
Okay? But that's just how it is. Okay.
Yes.
No attempts to understanding are needed. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you were to kill all the fibroids in your body mm-hmm. or remove all of them, mm-hmm. 100% effective.
Right.
We know from the literature that fibroids will grow back because of the genetic predisposition on an 8 to 15 year cycle.
Oh, 8 to 15 years.
So if you get any treatment, mm-hmm. the way you could sort of check to see if the doctor did a great job is to say, did I start having symptoms? Did I have a period of 8 to 15 years where I was symptom-free before they came back?
Mm.
Okay? Right? First thing, the way to validate that question is by understanding, do you know all the symptoms? So if you know all the symptoms that you started with,
okay.
Did they then disappear for 8 to 15 years,
okay.
and then did they come back?
Okay.
So I'll give you an example. I have a patient, and we'll talk about the different methods in a bit, you know, who had two VIPs, actually. They had, when I started offering the treatment that I offer here in the Bahamas, the embolization treatment of the fibroids, which we'll talk about. When they came, when I came back to the Bahamas in 2021, and I started coming a week a month from Boston here to treat women, they had been treated in 2008 and 2010 at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio, the mothership. And they started having symptoms between 2020 and 2021, return.
Oh.
It wasn't even long before they're like, this is a familiar situation. I went from, you know, 1-2 pads, you know, over the past decade to now 4, 5, 6 over the course of a year.
Mm.
Some of them, you know, I think one was at 8 to 9.
Wow.
The other one was at like 6 to 7. And so they immediately came to me.
Right.
Because they had already read this book.
Okay.
They had already read this book. They say, no, you ain't going to pull a fast one on me. And they came straight to me. And they say, you don't got to convince me, doc. I said, I'm not convincing you. They say, doc, sign me up for the treatment. I said, well, why? And so they told me the same thing. They said, my doctor told me in 2008, and the other person said exactly in 2010, that they will come back in an 18-15-year cycle.
Ooh.
So they've already managed that expectation. So
right.
I said, well, boom, thank you, Lord. This is exactly what women need to understand is, you will have a period. It's just like a season. Will summer last all year? No.
Mm-hmm.
Will fall last all year? No.
Okay.
Will spring last all year? No. Will winter? No. So you need to know what is the season of the fibroids being treated and then growing back. So you need to understand that that's the case. And so when it comes to women sort of experience a regrowth, you need to first understand that. Secondly, and this is why I said I'll answer this two ways, some treatments, for example, if you think about a surgical treatment, you know, a surgical treatment for fibroids is almost like trimming a hedge, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
So if you are trying to trim a hedge, hedge just gets out of control. Yeah. Oh my goodness gracious. The hedge, you know, a year ago, I drove past this place. This hedge looks so nice.
Yeah.
Now this hedge is in this person's yard and now it's touching in my car. Now it's in my dog house. It's in my, the hedge is just out of control. So gardener says, I'll take care of that for you.
Okay.
Let me, so they take their little, you know, clippers and they start cutting the hedges, trimming. And then you come back the following day, say, no, this looks great, but I want the hedge gone.
Right.
I want it gone.
Yeah.
I don't want it there anymore.
Right.
So a surgeon basically removes what they see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you think about, you know, sort of the other methods, for example, when you know, I introduce the treatment that I offer, which is uterine artery embolization, they say, well, how many fibroids are you treating? I say, well, it's like asking, you know, a surgeon, you know, how many leaves are they cutting? They could tell you because, yeah, they on the top, they see them. They say, it's a little painstaking to tell you how many, but I'll tell you, I'm getting all these leaves on the top.
Uh-huh.
But if you were to ask them how many roots on trees that you could, they can't tell you because they're not in.
Nope.
Whereas what we do is we're on the inside.
Right.
So we go in the blood vessels, you know, we thin our catheters in and we find the root to the hedge.
Okay.
The roots to the entire network of trees.
Mm.
Okay. So every tree has what? Has roots. If you're a tree, you have roots.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 1,000 leaves or 2 or 20,000 leaves, does it mean you have 20,000 roots? No.
Mm-mm.
You may have 5 roots.
Mm-hmm.
And those 5 roots are responsible for the 20,000 and 10,000 and 15,000 leaves.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we are killing the roots as a means of addressing the leaves.
So you're trying to tell me most times they're not killing the root? We're not getting
to
the root of it?
Who are we talking about?
The doctors.
When you say doctors.
Who is treating these fibroids?
So again, surgeons versus us, because we have two different methods. So that's why, you know, what I'm trying to be clear on is, again, if you are a surgeon, you are operating on the outside.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
If you cut somebody open, how do you get to the roots of something?
Okay.
If you're a plumber, I could talk about the inside of the pipes with you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're somebody who just installing the basin, why would I have a conversation about plumbing with you? I mean,
right.
you probably don't even know what the inside of a pipe looks like.
True.
And so it's different. So we, our specialty, you know, I trained for 13 years after high school to do what I do. Okay. And that is specifically geared towards the blood vessels that lead to different things.
Okay.
In the same way that I could get to the heart or get to the brain to remove a blood clot from the brain in a stroke or to remove a blood clot in the lungs or the blood vessels of the lungs or, you know, if you have a diabetic foot and you have blockages, the same way I was trained to do all those things, those are blood vessels. So we're the specialists that deal with blood vessels, the inside. So similarly, we deal with the inside of the body when it comes to tumors that are growing from the inside of the body. And the way they grow is they grow from blood vessels, which is why, you know, when we started our conversation, you know, I wanted to make it very clear that the fibroids grow from a network of blood vessels.
Okay.
If that network is taken out, you know, and understood and interrogated, then the entire framework, the entire tree, foliage, they will all be treated as well.
Doc, we're almost at the end of our show. So it looks like I'm going to have to get you to come back. But remind us again, where can we find you?
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for allowing me to be here. I appreciate it. You know, I appreciate, obviously, the opportunity to serve you and to serve your community.
Yes.
This is such an important topic. So I am based at the Family Medicine Center on Blake Road.
Okay.
And so I could be reached through Family Medicine Center by contacting them or contacting them through the website.
Mm-hmm.
My website is actually the Bahamas Fibroid Clinic.
The Bahamas Fibroid Clinic.
And that is a clinic that is within Family Medicine Center where I see all my patients through.
Okay.
It's an exclusive clinic, the only one in the Caribbean dedicated to treating women with fibroids through a holistic approach. And, you know, hopefully in the next time around, we could talk about sort of the nature of the holistic approach and why it's not just the therapy, but it's what comes afterwards that allows you to move from the 15-year cycle to now never seen them ever again. And that's where the environment, the nutrition, the fitness that we'll talk about hopefully next time kind of comes into play.
Oh, man, we didn't get to speak on half of the things I wanted to ask, but you already said you can come back, so you will be back. I want to thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and, you know, speak to us.
Absolutely.
But ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry we did not get to cover everything. But until next time, we do have airing times every week and Just a reminder, we air Mondays from 9 to 9:30 a.m., 1 to 1:30 p.m., and 7:30 to 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 9 to 9:30 a.m., and then again on Friday from 3 to 3:30 p.m. And until next time, as I always tell you, remember, God is love, stay curious, stay informed, stay healthy and happy, and let's keep the conversations alive. I'm Bridget Bell-Bastian, a.k.a. Lady B, for Word SBC 88.3 FM. Remember, guys, it's not complicated, it's simply healthy.